You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Tuesday to you. It's Tuesday, November the 6th. And like I said, welcome to this segment of Locked On 76ers. Today I have a busy day, right? So, you know, today is election day. So first thing I want to tell you guys to do is everyone make sure you get out and you vote. It doesn't matter your affiliation, but just go out there and vote. And I mean, you just want to be heard. And just like I want to be heard on this podcast, today I want to talk about Brett Brown, the 76ers coach. I'm going to talk about him in the first segment. In the second segment, you know, I want to discuss the Markel Fultz, Drew Hanlon, latest situation. I think that this thing is starting to become a shame. And thirdly, you know, I just want to talk about Landry Shamet. You know, I think that he's becoming the steal of the draft. You know, Landry as, you know, for a late first round pick, this guy is doing a lot. Now, again, you know, he's not going to be in contention for rookie of the year or anything like that. But, you know, this is a guy who had a second round projection. And the Sixers went out and gambled and he played very well. So, you know, without that further ado, so to speak, you know, I really want to talk about 76ers coach Brett Brown. You guys all know that since the process really took a second level, Brett Brown's been under the gun. You know, I remember since year three, I mean, you know, they were still tanking in, but basically, maybe year four, you know, I was asked, and I even asked, you know, Brian Colangelo, because who was the general manager at the time, what are you guys going to do with Brett Brown? Is Brett Brown on a hot seat? And even before that, when Sam Hinkie lost his job, the question was, will Brett Brown lose his job? You know, initially, when Brett Brown was hired, the thought was that he being a player development coach, that's his background, that he was just here to get guys better. Once the team's roster had roster upgrades and the team like was focused on winning, that Brett Brown would have been fired. I mean, that was the belief. And depending on who you believe, that was the goal. I mean, you talk to certain people, and they said that the goal was that once the team got good, Brett Brown wasn't going to be the coach. They just needed a guy in here to rack up these losses. Well, we get to today. Every day I'll talk to people. I'll get text messages. I get emails. I see people on the street, and they just murder their coach. They say that this guy has to go. And they ask me, what do you think? What do you think? Look at it. Look at the decisions he made. The team is playing undisciplined. This and that and yada yada. And what about his rotations? And I'm here to tell you, it's too early. I mean, I know that the team has some shortcomings. It's very obvious when you see them play. And I know that some of the rotations are crazy. But at the same time, you know, I'm looking at this team and I see where. And some of you may not agree because you don't really like some of the players who I'm about to bring up. But I see where you have a team that started the season with your two offseason acquisitions injured. You have a team where your top draft pick is injured. You have a team where Jared Bayless, a guy who is expected to get more playing time this year, is injured, right? You have a team where And I don't think this is Brett Brown, but you have a team where you're getting people saying you have to play Markelle Fultz, or at least you have to start him. And, you know, and rightfully, I understand that, because you have to, you know, see what you have in him. So the rotation is jacked. You see Mike Mustala, you know, is finally getting into his groove, and he's playing well. He had a bad game the last game, but before that, he had some pretty good games. You see a guy like Wilson Chandler, who's only played 9 minutes and 30 seconds due to injuries. And you have, Jared Bayless, who has yet to play. So with that, I'm saying is, it's hard to say, okay, we got to get rid of Brett Brown. Now, again, I understand that the rotations are crazy, but I got to believe that it's not because of I just want to throw this lineup out there. You know, Markelle, you have to see what Markelle can do. The true lineup of a team the true lineup of this team is what they do in the second half, I think, when JJ starts and this and that. Now, if you want to criticize him, this is the one thing that I think people have valid criticisms. You know, this team relies too heavily on analytics. This team is predictable in regards to analytics. You know exactly when Markelle's coming out. You know exactly when Ben Simmons is coming out. You know exactly when they're coming back in. Now, if you want to criticize Brett Brown, you can say that, hey, Brett, maybe you need to be more of a flow of the game coach and rely less on the analytics. You know, so I give you that. But in regards to, you know, people just saying, hey, this guy is horrible, he has to go, look at this, look at that, I think it's too early to do that, you know, to be so definitive in it, because he does not have the roster. Now, again, last year when they had Ersan and Marco, those last 16 games, or when they won undefeated in there, and let's face it, they were playing inferior competition in those games. You know, people were talking about Brett Brown for Coach of the Year. The same people who right now are criticizing him. And I'm not taking up for him, and I'm not bashing him. All I'm saying is let's just give it time, because this is an annual discussion. You know, and the last 2 years I wrote articles about it. You know, right now I'm holding it off because I know that, you know, right now, I want to see what Wilson Chandler can do. I want to see what Jared Bayless comes back and does, you know, getting minutes and playing in a system, or playing, fulfilling a role that better suits him. I want to see how long it takes for them to keep J.J. Redick or Landry Shamet coming off the bench. Because let's face it, at this particular time, they give them a better role. A better chance to win. I want to see when they bring TJ McConnell off the bench and start playing him, because the team is much better than, you know, with TJ playing than they are without him. So again, some of you might say a lot of this has to do with the coaching, true, but you have to believe that right now a lot of this stuff is, you know, mandated from top. Some of it is you know, trying to get guys together and finding out what's going on. All right. So that's where we are with that one. You know, here's the thing, y'all. You know, I want you guys to know that this podcast right here will give you updated information 5 days a week on the 76ers. Some of you may say, Pompey, you know, we want you to be like other podcasts where you have people on, you're interviewing them, you're saying this and that. That's all fine and dandy. But see, what I want to do is on this podcast, I want to keep it real with you guys. You know, I don't want to have somebody. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to have some players on, and I'm going to have other people on here. But my object to giving you a podcast is to keep it real, tell you what's going on, give you my opinion on things. I don't want to make it more like, you know, an interview process just to say that I had somebody on here. You know, if I think that that person is BS and I think that person isn't keeping it real, I don't want the person on my show. I just want to give you guys the stuff that basically, you know, due to me being a beat writer and writing in a newspaper, you know, I have to be a little bit more objective. So that's what I'm trying to do. But, you know, right now, I want to give y'all a chance to hear a couple words from the sponsor. Hey, y'all, this is me. I'm back. All right, let's get into segment number two. I want to talk about the latest Markelle Fultz situation, Drew Hanlon situation, which kind of basically blew up social media yesterday. You kind of knew it was coming. You know, I think that, you know, well, let me just give you just let you know what happened. So there's a guy by the name of Clint Parks, whose handle on Twitter is @Brotherhood05, right? So he was watching the Sixers game, I'm assuming, and he tweeted at Drew Hanlon, "Pure sucker. Come to the podium, please. The basketball world got a couple of questions for you." Right? Now, this tweet was in response because, you know, a lot of the 76ers and Drew, while Markelle was working out, they, you know, put out word or let it be known that Markelle was approving and that he was going to be a better player. Drew even said that, you know, as long as Markelle's healthy, he can see him being an all-star. And, you know, Markelle has struggled this year. You know, he's playing more comfortable. He's having injury. But in regards to shooting, his shot hasn't gotten any better. It just hasn't. You know, I mean, I guess that's harsh to say that. You see some improvement. But this last game, it just went back to where it was. So Drew Hanlon replied. Here's your reply. Number one, hate me all you want, but don't hate on players. That's not professional. Number two, you don't know his situation. He's still not healthy. Number three, he went from 0% to 31% from three and from 48 to 67% from the foul line. Progress. Number four, his 3-point percentage is higher than your man crush, cuz hashtag facts. Now, you know, Drew Hanlon, who trained him, has since deleted that tweet. But it became huge headlines. One headline to a point is says, Fultz trainer claims Markel is, quote, still not healthy, and now deleted tweet. Right? Stuff is out of hand, people. Now, as far as still not healthy, we all know that, you know, Markel is a mental thing. I mean, we know that. We all know that. But when you come out and you say something like that and you delete it, it looks crazy. And it looks crazy because now people are saying, and I got up this morning and I checked Facebook, and people are killing Markel and killing the Sixers, saying, okay, here comes another excuse. So now you're saying his shoulder is messed up. Now you're saying he's this, he's that. And the fact that we all know by now that it's a mental situation, all this does is make things work worse for the kids, for Markel. I mean, let's face it, this is an off day. The guy, who knows, maybe is in Jersey at his crib in Philly, or maybe he wanted to go home to Maryland or D.C. and just see people, just relax. You know, finally, I have an off day. And I'm pretty sure people were blowing up his phone or texting him saying, look, man, did you see this? You know, the only person I say that looks good in all this is his first trainer, Keith Williams. And the reason why I'm saying that is, you know, everyone criticized Keith, saying that he messed Markel's shot up. He's the reason for this. He did that. And the guy never said anything. I mean, he tried to work with him. I mean, it's documented. You know, Kyle Newbeck wrote a story about how the guy was trying to work with him in the gym, which is true, after the fact, trying to help the kid. But he never came out and said anything about, hey, no, Markel's mental. Oh, hey, no, Markel's going to be this, he's going to be that. You know, other people have. And now he has, this Markel and the Sixers appear to be in a circus when it comes down to this guy's shot. People blame Keith Williams, said he couldn't get it better. Drew Hanlon's a renowned shooting coach. Apparently he didn't get it better. But now he's drawing criticism, because he said that Markel's shot would get better. And now this tweet comes out. And unfortunately, you know, folks, we realize about social media, whenever you say and you come out and you tweet something, you think you can delete it by people screenshoot it really fast. And at that particular time, it's out there. And that's why I'm talking about it this morning. And that's why everyone else is on Facebook criticizing Markel. People on the radio stations here are talking about he's injured. And some people are very critical of him, the Sixers, and Drew Hanlon. Hey, y'all. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But you think you know, and you got to check my bookie. Now, you know, this betting is like, you know, I'm talking about when people are betting on the NFL and stuff like that. You know, I mean, hey, so many games in the basketball season, I don't keep up with the basketball as far as betting and all that, but in regards to my bookie, you know, people do ask me. So remember, when you're betting, it's just when you're what you're betting on, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, guys. They are your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. So just lay down some cash and win big today. Now, join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, and you get paid. Now, a word from our sponsors. All right, y'all. Thank you. I'm back, and you know, quickly. I just want to talk a little bit about, you know, Landry Shamet. You know, the shooting guard for the 76ers. This guy, 21-year-old, out of Kansas City, Missouri. He went to Wichita State, where he became, you know, a solid point guard, a guy who was known for shooting, but he was a point guard. Now, at Park High School in Kansas City, he was a two guard, and he was, you know, basically switched to the one at Wichita State. Now, when he was drafted, the Sixers picked him 26th overall. There was a lot of talk from people saying, what are they doing? I gave this guy a second round grade. Now, from what I hear now is that he was lighting it up in the Sixers workout. And they knew that they could use him off the ball. And he could also be a secondary ball handler, if need be. Now, right now he's averaging 7.5 points. He's shooting 42% overall, 38.3% on threes, right? He's playing 19.7 minutes. He started one game. You know, I think that this guy, like when you look at the rookie of the year stuff, and you look at what Luka Doncic is doing, Trae Young is doing, like Luka is averaging 19.4 points. Trae Young is 19.1 points per game. And you see Shamet at 7.5. You know, he's out of the top 10 in regards to rookie and scoring. But when you look at a guy's role and you see where these guys are two starters, playing on bad teams, playing as many minutes as they want or more minutes, you know, as than most. I mean, Doncic is 34.8 minutes. Trae Young is 31 minutes. I mean, you can kind of put things in perspective. You know, I think that this guy was not the sexy pick. Being, you know, we already talked about that. But I do believe that he needs to be able to play in the Young Stars game. I know it's only been 11 games, and he's not, quote-unquote, a headliner on the team. But when you look at him and you see the things he's doing, and you see how he fulfills that role with the Sixers' need, I mean, he's one of their more consistent bench players. He needs to play in this game. And I think that he can be, he is, the, in my opinion, for what he's doing, he's kind of this, he is, forget it, not kind of, he is the steal of the draft. I mean, he's playing well. I mean, you got a guy like Colin Sexton, you know, he's averaging 11.1 points, but his teammates are killing him, saying he doesn't know how to play the game. So that's bad. But look, y'all, like I said before, make sure you get out there and vote. I'm going to do it today. Make sure you read the Philadelphia Inquirer. Today, the Philadelphia Inquirer, Philly Daily News, go on philly.com. I'm flying to Indianapolis today. So, you know, you can get, you know, stuff, post-practice stuff from Sarah Todd. She's covering practice today. Today's a travel day for me. Since the Sixers practice, you know, a little later than I thought they would, which is my stupidity, but I already, booked the flight. So the next time, you know, my flights, I'm just going to have to book them a little later in the evening, not in the afternoon, but in the evening on quote unquote travel days so I could be at practice. But hey, y'all, I want to thank y'all for listening and have a great day, and I'll be back tomorrow.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team